Good morning. Welcome back to the Ron Scott Communications Center. We are joined by two-thirds of the the infamous and always entertaining EAA Green Dot Podcast. Good morning, Hal. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having us.
So what made you guys decide to do a podcast?
You know, it started with an idea that Tom had one morning.
Yeah,
maybe it wasn't in the morning.
I do a lot of driving, and I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I thought, you know, there are a couple of great aviation podcasts out there, but maybe there's something that EAA can bring to this. You know, they'll kind of add to the landscape out there. And with podcasts kind of going through kind of a second renaissance right now, we kind of thought that maybe now was the right time.
Yeah. It was interesting. Podcasts sort of exploded what 7-8 years ago, and everyone had one. And then they sort of fell out of favor, but they've come back, as you say, Tom, in a second iteration. I think more professional. The quality level is higher. Obviously, computer technology.
I mean, not on our show, but certainly, but on the general landscape, yes, the quality is higher.
So that, with the increase in quality, has allowed you to kind of tag along and create the Green Dot.
Absolutely. Yeah, Tom had kicked around the idea, and three of us got together, met quietly, and then we sat down and recorded a test episode. See what would it actually look like? Then we played it for a few people, and everybody said, "Yeah, let's give this a go and see how it works." And after the first half dozen episodes, it turned from an experiment into a thing.
Okay, when did you start? When was the first episode?
April of 17, if I remember right.
Yeah, somewhere in the early spring.
And do you have a regular publishing schedule?
We do. Right now, it's a grueling every 2 weeks. So we got to come up with about 45 minutes of content every 14 days.
Every 2 weeks,
yes,
my
like
goodness.
Clockwork.
Well, you also have real jobs as well with EAA. Hal,
yes.
What are you doing these days?
So as senior editor for EAA's print and digital content publications, I work on Sport Aviation Magazine, have my hands in most editorial content there. I write features every month. That's first and foremost the job. I write for our blog, other web content. I do a little bit of work occasionally writing for vintage Warbirds magazines, all that kind of good stuff.
Good. And Tom, you're with Government Advocacy, so you are on the opposite end of the spectrum from Hal.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we do a little bit of everything. I mostly focus on regulatory policy, so all of the rules that we fly by, all of the policy that we fly by, working with FAA to make that better. And we've had some really good success over the last few years. During AirVenture, we're hosting FAA personnel around the grounds. In fact, I just came from something like that, and I'm also staffing the booth a little bit, so come by the member center and say hi. The times are posted.
Good. And the third member of the trio?
Yes, the conspicuously absent Chris Henry, who I hope is somewhere on the grounds right now shaking his fist at the nearest speaker. Chris, we all get called and to put out fires, right. And things happen. The theme this year for AirVenture is plan, what plan? Because anything we seem to have planned for this year just has spun, pivoted, gone in a different direction. But Chris, our museum programs coordinator, he's the third member of the group, and the podcast idea gelled when we realized three airplane nerds sitting around talking have what we think some decent chemistry. We have a lot of fun doing it, and maybe that'll translate. So Chris is a crucial part of that.
And we're hopefully going to talk to Chris tomorrow about his role that he played with the Memphis Belle dedication
at the
Air Force Museum.
Although I'd appreciate it if you spent most of that segment talking about why he wasn't here today.
Well, we will cover that topic.
Excellent.
As you've been doing this for a little, 18 months or so, approximately, you have to have some great stories to share.
Oh, my gosh. We have been so ridiculously lucky with guests. That's the thing, we're sort of stepping into this somewhat new to the podcast world. I had some experience on another show, but then realizing that when you have the support and credibility of EAA behind you and you invite somebody on, they tend to say yes. When you're sitting there with Charlie Precourt, and he stepped us through how to land the space shuttle, and the three of us are just sitting with our jaws hanging open, just hanging on every word. Same with Joe Engel. You just had Van on, and we spent a great 45 minutes with him. Time with John Monette, Adam and Kara White. I'd be remiss, of course, if I didn't mention three-time guest Jack Pelton.
Only three?
Only three so far, but we have something very special planned for him when he hits five.
I better think of something, because I've had him on more than on this show more than you guys have. So,
Well, this just got awkward.
I guess he likes me more.
Yes. Boy, and you're here as a volunteer. So
I was waiting for you to bring that up.
He can't even hardly fire you.
Oh, yeah, you can fire a volunteer. It just takes a lot more paperwork. And one of the guests that came out of the blue for me, one of the first podcasts that I listened to was the one with Mark Harmon. I saw on Facebook that Mark Harmon was going to be on the Green Dot, and I thought, where is the connection here?
Right.
It turned out to be a fascinating episode.
That was one of those, we filed that under, that's cool, but why? Mm-hmm. So Harmon played political police Wally Schirra from The Earth to the Moon, the HBO miniseries. And he's got a real passionate interest in World War II aviation. His dad was P-38s, Tom? I think it was
P-38s or B-25s.
Yeah. Anyway, so he was flying, as we were calling, the Pacific Theater. It's there in the episode anyway. And he was interesting to talk to, but he's got that same passion for aviation history in particular that all three of us bring to the table in different ways.
Well, what I love about that episode was that we were there to talk about from the Earth to the Moon episode, and he was still using some of the same terminology, calling it the LEM and the CM right. and stuff like that. That as if he was really Raleigh. It was kind of fascinating.
He can pretend to be an astronaut the way that we can pretend to be podcasters.
Exactly.
There you go. What kind of technology do you use to produce this?
I wish I could tell you the exact sort of name of the board. I do have to give a hello to our producer, Ty Windisch. Yep. He started with us as an intern in our publications team, and then now is our staff writer, has a lot of podcasting background. Basically, we've got if I remember right, it's an 8-track, it might be 16-track digital recorder. We sit around a table, headphones plugged in, mics plugged in, and capture everything raw, and then Ty cuts out 70% of the nonsense, and what we end up with sounds, we think, pretty good.
Somewhat intelligent.
Yes. And for podcasting folks who are wondering, how do we find these things? What's the best way to do it?
Maybe the simplest thing, if you're using a phone or a tablet, is use the podcasting app on your device, whether it's iTunes or Google Play, et cetera. You can just search for EAA's The Green Dot. You can also always go to our blog, which is inspire.eaa.org. There's a podcast tab there, and you can listen to them directly there right on the web.
And we missed the most basic question is, why Green Dot?
We kicked around so many names. I was trying to think the other day of some of the other names that we had, and I don't remember which one of us. I think maybe Chris threw the green dot on the whiteboard with all the others. But, of course, coming to Oshkosh, a rite of passage for so many pilots, and what makes it work, one of the things that, of course, makes it work, one of many, is the colored dots on the runway. And, we focus grouped the pink dot, the orange dot, white dot. Something about the green dot just sounded just right.
Should have been the blue dot. That was the one I landed on when I came in last Thursday.
if we'd been paying attention, Steve, we'd rename it in a heartbeat. We'd pivot, we'd rebrand like that.
No, you've got too much invested in this already.
Yes, we do. We spent a few hundred dollars on a sound recorder. So,
right. See, there you go.
There's no steering that ship.
What's ahead for the podcast? Can you let us in on any guests or topics you might be taking on?
It's cute that he thinks we plan ahead.
Uh-huh.
The next thing that's actually upcoming is tomorrow at 9:30 in the Air Venture Welcome Center. We'll be recording a live episode we're recording it live, and then it'll be edited and broadcast later. So we'll be recording an episode with a live audience.
Okay.
And that's with the crew of KC-135 and F-4 that were involved in a unbelievably harrowing rescue mission. The same guys are going to be speaking at Theater in the Woods and other venues very soon.
And on the next segment of this radio show.
I ran into them in the waiting area, in the green room, as it were.
Good. A little more about the government advocacy with EIA. I know the administrator is still here or was here.
Just left this morning.
Yep. That's always a big meet the boss forum. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that are happening this week yet? As far as advocacy goes.
As far as advocacy goes, for the weekend, actually, our schedule gets fairly light. We will be available in the member center tomorrow from 1 to 3. and on Sunday from 8 to 10. So certainly stop by and say hi. We've been doing medical advice throughout the week, some valid, some not. Most of it's been done by actual doctors, so that's good, but sometimes I have to give advice too. Okay.
And I want to go on record, Tom is not actually a doctor.
Yes.
And there's 20 people out there that are laughing right now.
But yeah, if you have issues with medical certification, with certifying your aircraft, legal issues, airport issues, that's all the stuff that we help EAA members with day in and day out. And then we also handle regulatory policy. Excuse me. And we've had a bunch of very great meetings and tours this week, really kind of setting the agenda for what we want to see here at EAA. And I would say for the vast majority of things, we are well aligned with the FAA on this. And we're in as good a place as we've ever been.
And I know we've said it before, but Paul Poberesny, when he founded EAA and started working with the FAA, always wanted to have a cooperative relationship, not an adversarial relationship. And through your work, I'm assuming that continues today.
Yeah. In fact, very quickly, I was taking a look at an old sport aviation magazine that I just kind of randomly found the other day. It was from August 1971, I think. And Paul had an editorial that you could put it in our magazine today and it would ring just as true. He said, you know, essentially that today's politics are very, very heated, but either we can join with the folks who throw rocks and write the nasty letters, or we can actually roll up our sleeves, treat everybody, including those in government, as people, as aviation enthusiasts, and actually get stuff done. And that's what we try to continue to do today.
Truly a visionary, and we do miss him, but glad that he started all of this.
You're here.
From the Green Dot, we have Hal and Tom. Gentlemen, thank you for spending some time with us today. Hopefully you have no more fires to put out and you can enjoy the show and do what it is you do, and that is help all of us enjoy sport and general aviation. You're listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.